5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Angel, it's kind of like a little lull right now, isn't it? Doesn't it? It's kind of strange. I mean, the Nuggets haven't played since Monday, and it's Thursday. This is the longest we've gone without watching Nuggets basketball, dude, since the playoffs began. Well, since the Nuggets season began.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a lull, which opens up a lot of time to have unique discussions about the history of the team, the future of the team, whatever, the current team. But heaven forbid. All right, I know that I'm just, what is it, the Voldemort thing? When you say the name, it gives him more power or something like that? Mm-hmm. I know that when we talk about ESPN and Nick Wright, is he? Yeah, I know.
Ooh, Brady.
I know. You give him power. That's what they want. But there are certain things that hit, and it's like, nah, that's not just a sports take. Now you're just being an idiot. And Nick Wright, what's the, I don't know what show he's on.
First thing. On FS1.
I don't know how he's famous. I mean, I don't know if he's famous, but I don't know. Yeah, well, he's always been very critical of Nikola Jokic. And this is my problem. Let's play here. We're going to give it some power here, but then we're going to take it away. Here's Nick Wright.
Enough with
he
this.
All but said your name.
Except I never accused him of stat padding ever. I don't even know where that narrative was. What does Mike Malone want? Has Nikola Jokic been shortchanged on awards, or has he gotten is he literally the most decorated regular season player of the last 3 years? I think he is. Does Mike Malone want us to call him a champion? Because he's not yet. He is now a conference champion. Does Mike Malone want, and all the folks that are now acting like Nikola Jokic has been up on the cross the last few years when he's won every award, they changed the rules for first-team All-NBA because, God forbid, he might not make first-team All-NBA.
Well, he didn't make it.
And he didn't make it. Oh, my, the infamy of that. Here's the question. Why does Jokic, why should he not be treated like the other all-time greats, which I will now include him in, of his era? You know why LeBron wasn't heavily criticized after winning the MVP? He'd already made a finals. Durant, when he won his MVP, had already made a finals. Steph, the first year he won his MVP, won the championship. You know who was heavily criticized after winning multiple MVPs? Giannis, you know why? Hadn't made a finals. Then he won a championship. This is how it works. And the idea that I have to listen to Michael Malone tell us, did you know he was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial? They should have known back then. Enough. He gets a lot of respect, a lot of love. I was one of his biggest skeptics. And I and everyone else have been like, he did what we wanted to see him do. But these folks demanding he get a special carve-out that we've never allowed for any great player ever, which is, haven't seen it on deep playoff run, but you know what? Doesn't matter. You're the best we've ever seen. I won't do it. But now we've seen it. Congrats. It's outrageous. The whining is outrageous.
All right, so that was Nick Wright from FS1 First Things First. Brady stepped out for a second. I'm going to start off. His name is Michael Malone.
Yeah.
As Brady slams his mic into the sky.
I got a very important phone call.
Right.
But I can't do anything with it.
His name is Michael. It is very simple to call him by his name that he prefers to be called by. Intentionally saying Mike Malone it's trolling, it's disrespectful, and it's disgusting. Nick, wrong. With your fake hair, whatever that look is. Just shave it again like you did a couple of years ago. But yeah, Brady, your thoughts.
Yeah, okay. So here's where I am with this. Rattled. Had a very important phone call.
You're a busy guy.
Pertaining to some news. So there we go. When I hear him talk about, okay, what do you guys want? I don't hear anybody saying that Nikola Jokic is Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or LeBron James.
No one's calling him a champion.
Nobody has. And even the most obnoxious of Denver media folks, not all of them are obnoxious, but some of them can be. I can be. We're not saying that. Michael Malone's not saying that. What we're saying is you should be talking about them now. They're going to a finals. It's the first time they've ever done this. If the Detroit Lions make it to the Super Bowl next year, we should be all over NFL Network and ESPN and all of that talking about the Lions, their stories, everything. Well, the NFL's good at that because they can quickly transition. If it's not the two favorites going, then they can easily go to Detroit. I turn on NFL Network on any given day, and I guarantee you it's not all things Kansas City Chiefs.
You're going to hear about five different teams
yes,
in a 10-minute segment.
Absolutely are. You could, yes, you could watch it for 5 minutes and still, you could see a segment about the Jaguars. Got Brandon McManus, by the way. You can see a segment suddenly, randomly. Oh, here's the Broncos. Oh, here's the AFC North. We're going to talk about that. The ESPN crew, a lot of these guys, and I know he's not, is that ESPN?
That's FS1.
Okay. He should go to ESPN. He fits right in with those guys. There was a, Mike Greenberg said yesterday that if the Lakers had Kyrie Irving, they would have beat the Nuggets. Well, if the Broncos would have Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback, they would have won the Super Bowl. I mean,
going
that's
off
stupid.
Nick's point that, you know, no one's talking about him, but he won all of these awards. Yes, he won the two MVPs. Yes, he's putting up these statistical records and nonstop. But you have constantly, for the last 2 years, discredited his MVP awards. You said the last 2 years that Embiid should have been the MVP, that Giannis should have been MVP. So you can't, on one hand, give him the credit for being a great player, and on the other hand say, oh, no one's talking about him, but he already won these awards.
Yeah.
You discredit his awards. So you'll bring it up as a justifying point to defend him.
Right. That is... that the whole thing about this, though, is, okay, he was very critical about Nikola Jokic for so long. And then he says, well, I'm talking about him now. I'm doing this thing. You were the first one to say he's the worst MVP ever. He said that.
Yep.
That's why we get so mad at you. It's why we get upset, because you were so disrespectful. And he's saying, he's won all these awards now. He's there. I don't know what you guys want. Well, you just got off of saying he was the worst MVP ever.
Well, they will never walk back what they said. They'll never come out and say, I was wrong about this take. Some of them do. There are very few that they do. But a guy like Nick Wright will not go on TV and say, I was wrong about this. I'm sorry.
Well,
moving forward, I may not talk about Jokic as much, but I am acknowledging that I was wrong about that take. That's all we want you to say.
He's mad. He's acting like we as Denver media and fans are saying, crown Nikola Jokic.
Nope.
Now, I'm saying stuff like he's the GOAT of Denver and all that. He's not the GOAT. He's not Michael Jordan. He's not Kobe. He's not LeBron. He will not be those guys unless he starts to win championships. That's what he has to do. I understand that. But he is right now. He's one of the great players. Now, what's interesting is, did you see Carmelo Anthony's thing? He said, hey, you know, where is it? I want to pull that quote up. It's interesting. He said, it doesn't bother me anymore. The idea that you're a loser if you don't win a championship. For me, I won back in 2003, the night I shook David Stern's hand on the draft. I've won at life. Now, again, you don't have to win a championship, Angel, to be a great player, to go down in history as a great player. Charles Barkley is historic amongst NBA players. He is one of the great players we talk about. There's a lot of guys that you can say. John Stockton is a great player. You can still talk about them being great. Yes, championships ultimately will define you as far as how great we're going to talk about, like how much greatness we're going to crown you with. But nobody is saying that Nikola Jokic is the best player we've ever seen. He's the best Nugget we've ever seen. He's right now the best player in the league. So give him that respect. He is the best player in the league.
So I just looked this up because I was interested about it. In the Nuggets, this regular season had 16 national TV games. That's either on TNT or ESPN or ABC. They had two in March, two in February, two in April. The last 3 months of the season, this team was on national TV six times.
Wow.
What frustrates us is that, you don't put them on national TV because they're a flyover state. I'm sorry, is Denver and Colorado not one of the largest, fastest-growing places in the country right now?
People are moving to Colorado left and right.
People are moving out of Colorado because there's not enough space here.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that Denver is a flyover city anymore, because it's not. It was in the 90s and early 2000s, but it's not anymore.
And then you hear that there's a Sports Illustrated guy.
Chris Mannix.
He said the Nuggets aren't interesting. That's just why we're not talking about them. They're not interesting.
Every team is interesting.
Every team in professional sports has something you can latch onto. Now, I'll admit, if next year, Angel, we're talking about the Washington underline. I don't know what their name is, because apparently that's not getting approved.
Name to be announced later.
If Washington and Jacksonville are in the Super Bowl, will that be a great matchup? Will you be excited about it? Probably not, but they're also not very good. I mean, Jacksonville's kind of trying to. I get that. But
you got to the Super Bowl.
But if they were good enough to get to the Super Bowl, what should we be doing the year leading into the Super Bowl? Building those teams up. Yep. Talking about them every day. Jacksonville's 6-0. How far can they go? What's been the turnaround? How good can they get? Oh, Washington. They got a new owner. You can find stories. Yes, there are less interesting teams sometimes, but odds are, if you're getting into the finals, if you're getting into a championship, if you're getting into the playoffs, there's interest there. And you fail as an overall media outlet when you don't recognize that throughout the course of the season. J.J. Redick said it right, man. How are they not interesting? Two-time MVP, Nikola Jokic, number one seed in the West. That's just for starters. How can we dare say they're not interesting?
Dirk was interesting. Luka is still interesting. Giannis is by far one of the faces of the league. Why can't it be Jokic?
Anybody in the league, you can pick a random team and say, okay, this is an interesting thing about this team. There's something I can pull here.
The NBA talks about spreading the game, making it in the international game. You have an international superstar on the number one team in the finals.
Just the Joker alone. He is from Serbia. He was drafted in second round. Nobody knew who he was. He tweeted out, Facebooked out, whatever, in 2011. Anybody want a pickup game? He was kind of a pudgy, younger
kid. He was
begging
to play basketball.
Yeah, and he deleted his account after that because I'm guessing, I don't know, did he get bullied? Did people get on there and were they jerks to him? That's a story. His brothers are a story. The fights that he almost got into the last couple of years, that's a story.
His personality is a story.
Yes,
why do they call him the Joker? It's not just because of his name sounds like it. It's because he's a funny guy.
I think it started like that, maybe. I don't know.
I
don't know. I don't know the answer. I'd like to know. Somebody should dig that
up. But the casual NBA fan, why do they call him Joker? Is it just because of his name?
Yeah.
No, it's actually a lot more.
It actually kind of all works out. Jamal Murray's interesting. From Canada.
Any professional player gets a major injury and comes back and wins something.
It's so interesting. Michael Porter Jr. had an injury.
He's had a
bad year as far as personal because of his brother.
Former number one prospect out of high school.
That was passed on because he got hurt. And the Nuggets took a chance. That's a story.
And he matured over his time with the Nuggets.
KCP was drafted. Wasn't he drafted? He was a Bobcat originally, right? The Bobcats. By Michael Jordan. He was supposed to be a superstar. He never really became that. He was a fine player. But he also, now he's a role player. Kind of a role player. He's a starter, but he's still a role player.
He describes himself as a perfect fit for this team.
Aaron Gordon was drafted the same year that Nikola Jokic was drafted. And Orlando said, wasn't he drafted that? What year was he drafted? Maybe I'm wrong on that.
It was probably around 14, I would
say.
Yeah,
I think he was. Either way, he was drafted. Yeah, he's 27 years old, so he's like the same age. So it was either the year before or after or during. I don't know. But Orlando drafted him to be their superstar, and he was for a while.
He was a headliner in the dunk contest. He made the dunk contest relevant again.
He was one of the top players in the league for a very short time, but he was one of those guys.
But
that
now
everybody
you
knew.
Have people on ESPN saying they don't even know his name. They don't even know his name.
Aaron Gordon?
They say Aaron Godwin.
Aaron Goodwin. It's just like he goes to Denver and it's like it dissolves.
He disappeared.
He was always on highlights in SportsCenter. Always. That's a unique story because he's not the best player on the team. He's not the second best player on the team. He's probably not the third. It depends on who you ask, and it depends on the day.
And the time that he got traded to the Nuggets.
They traded a fan favorite in Gary Harris to get him.
Right.
There's a lot of unique stories surrounding the Denver Nuggets.
Michael Malone.
Michael Malone was fired after 20 games or so. We got Dempsey, by the way, coming up. He was fired 20 games or so He was two or three games under 500. Boogie Cousins had mono. He was out. Your best player's out, and you're just a couple games under 500, and you fire him.
Christian Brown's the only rookie in the playoffs right now.
He has three high school state championships. He has a championship with Kansas, and now he's a Western Conference champ. There's a story.
Bruce Brown was traded to this team and completely embraced the Colorado lifestyle, wearing cowboy hats, riding horses. He's at a Rockies game last night.
He was forgotten in Brooklyn because Brooklyn had what they had. He was forgotten there. And look at what he's done. Coming off the bench, he's a special player.
DeAndre Jordan, a former star of the league.
Now he's just grabbing some bench.
Has accepted the role as a mentor and a veteran leader on this team.
How about the Cronkies? They own a football team. They own the Avalanche that won a Stanley Cup last year. They got a team now that's going to the Western Conference Finals. They could be one of the...
They could have three rings in three different sports.
Stan's Rams won the Super Bowl a few years ago. They could be the most decorated owners ever. I mean, someday. They got two titles, maybe three, in the last 4 or 5 years.
We sound insane talking about this, but this is the truth.
Look at the stories. There's fantastic stories out here. It's all you got to do is dig it up.
It's sports. There's always a story.
Dude, and yes, and I will say this, to be fair. You could give me the Indiana Pacers, and we would find stories. We would find, whether it's talking about their history, their current status, the future, you can find these stories, man.
It's not the player or the coach or the team that makes sports what we love. It's the stories behind them. It's the Mickey Mouse, Disney, fairy tale sports movies that we watch because we know they have a good ending in them.
This is what I'm saying. My guy Terry Fry's mad, and I get it. Terry, I like you, but he's mad at all the media like us that's giving this power. But what I'm saying is, dude, this is beyond Nick Wright saying Nikola Jokic is the worst MVP ever. It's beyond that. We're trying to change it.
It's one thing to complain about in the regular season, even in a couple of rounds in the playoffs, because there's other teams. They are one of two teams that will be playing for the championship.
They're waiting around.
They're going to baseball games, swimming
Bruce
in pools.
Joker's probably swimming in a sea somewhere.
Probably bought a horse over the week.
Yeah, probably did.
But that's not a story.
You know, Jamal's probably doing push-ups somewhere.
MVP of the league, he has a hobby for horse racing? He actually has several horses?
That's not interesting to you? That's not interesting? And this is what I'm saying. I'm not trying to give them power, but I'm saying it's irresponsible, dude. You are sports reporters. You should be talking about these teams. And Miami has a gripe, too. 23 minutes after the hour. I have Kevin Lytle going to join the show. I don't know. Is this the week we're going to find out about Isaiah Stevens? I've been thinking about that, obviously. Is he coming back? Is he going to the NBA? What is he doing? Maybe Kevin knows something. We'll talk about it at the bottom of the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
We got our own Nick Wright in studio here.
Oh, really? Really?
Tanner's been hanging out with us a lot lately. It's great. We love hanging out with you.
Yeah,
you get those
like
headphones
it.
Figured out? Or
no. He's on the Nuggets train now.
You're officially on the Nuggets train.
He's hanging on the caboose, but he's
no,
there.
I'm not.
We're not going to let you into the fancy part
you
of the train.
You guys don't get a say on that.
We own
the
train.
Last car.
No, we bought the train.
No, you don't.
We'll make sure the chicken nuggets get down there for you.
He can't get his headphones on.
They're there now.
Gosh, it's like you do radio for a living.
Can I bring this up with our GM about the headsets that we have in here?
I don't worry about the headsets. I think they're fine.
Bring my phone.
You've got a lot of great guests, but most of them are over the phone.
That's true.
We have a lot of guests, and a lot of them are in studio and watching people struggle with these headsets.
Well, yeah, you had the lawyer break them the other day.
Well, one of them doesn't work, and it's just still there on the table.
It works, but I have to...
Wait. Angel, that is the KFK way.
Yeah.
If something breaks, nobody will take it to the trash.
Somebody
they just put it on a table.
Let's always try this one. Nope, not that one.
Nope,
this one?
That's fine.
Well, it's because us radio show hosts have our own headsets, mm-hmm. which it looks like you maybe a birthday present for you.
They're getting pretty bad.
Yeah, you're.
But I can still hear fine.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, but it's all falling apart. Ears work?
You're gonna give me one?
Right.
You're gonna give me a pair?
No, just anybody want to give Brady a birthday gift? That would be a good one. But we unplug it underneath because there's only a certain number, and then one of these gets unplugged, and then it's musical headphones. So that's cool. How you guys doing? Don't call me Nick Wright ever again. Thanks.
I just said we had our own.
Yeah,
Nick Wright.
You called me Nick Wright.
I just said we had our own Nick Wright in studio. Could have been talking about myself.
No, you weren't.
I could have been.
Would you ever call yourself Nick Wright?
No.
Yeah.
Because I did. I just think that sometimes
your hair is better.
These media guys are. They're all about the clicks and all that stuff. And I think you can gain clicks, but also being genuine.
Yeah.
And you can talk about sports and you can be controversial.
You can tell me I'm wrong about a lot of it.
Wrong,
like,
quite a bit.
Like the Tiger Woods thing where
that
I think.
It's a dumb take.
Tiger. No, it's. Dude, did you see the ratings from the PGA Championship when he didn't play? They were good. They were really, really good. So that, I mean, but every take that I have is legit. I genuinely believe it. I'm not getting on here and being like, oh, this is going to get the people going.
And that's what's even more sad. Like, I'm like, oh, poor Tanner, man.
Nick,
he doesn't educate himself on stuff.
Looking back at the Nikola Jokic take, was I wrong? Yes. Do I stand by why I was saying what I was saying? Yes. Because he had not shown me yet what he's showing us all right now. What he's showing us right now, that tomahawk chop, throw, make, whatever the hell you want to call it, that he had, that's what I was looking for. Is those the biggest moments. Doesn't matter where you're at on the court, that ball needs to be in your best player's hand. And Nikola Jokic did that, and he won. He swept the Lakers because of it.
Yeah, well, I know we're giving him power when we talk about these people. I get it. But I just think now it's to the point where it's unprofessional.
Well, that's
not just takes. It's unprofessional.
It is. And it is borderline dangerous because, you know, on Good Morning NOCO, we talk a lot about the really serious news and stuff like that and how we report on that and how that can be dangerous. And in the same essence, you can have these takes in the sports world that aren't going to be incredibly dangerous or things like that. It just controls the narrative, and that's been going on for a long time. But what we saw for the first time in the NBA this year was that crossover where they crossed the line, where the takes that they had about Nikola Jokic crossed that dangerous line where this is incorporating real-world stuff, real issues that people are facing out there.
Yeah.
And guys like Nick Wright, I don't think talking about him gives him power. I think talking about him is calling him on his BS so that people can see and understand, because we work in the media. We work in the job of having these takes and being entertaining. And there's a trait and a skill set that comes along with that. And some are better than others. So when we call it out, people need to know that we come from the same side of things, that we are seeing the antics that we could all easily do. We choose not to because we have some ethics.
Yeah, it's frustrating, man. It really is. The
we
whole
wouldn't
thing.
Be upset if you, like, we can be upset with your take as long as it's informed and educated.
Right.
You can, as long as you know what you're talking about and you can stand by that, cool. Be wrong.
It's
all
like
you want.
When ESPN came out and did that story about Russell Wilson to start the season last year. I don't recall any of us here at this station crying about it going, man, that's leave Russ alone. We all kind of went,
gee,
is this something to worry about? I had
right.
Clay Millen's dad on,
right.
Hugh Millen on the show, talking to me about this. And he was like, yeah, you might be a little worried, but we didn't freak out because that was a legitimate story. There was legitimate concerns there, and it was our guy. Russ was our guy. We were all very happy that he was here. 32 minutes after the hour. Are we getting some news on Isaiah Stevens? I don't know. Kevin Lytle's going to join me next from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And thank you, Tanner Schwinn. You're not
second,
Nick Wright.
Second shortest appearance I've ever had on the whole show.
You were going to fill in for me because I took another phone call, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
You an angel, man.
Don't you ever
people
call.
Know you're doing don't, a show like right now?
Don't. Well, no.
They
he
keep
may,
calling you.
I don't know. My mom will text me a lot during the show, and I'm like, Mom, stop it, please. It's disrespectful.
I'm working.
Yeah. Or I'll text my sister. Will be like, what are you doing right now? I'm like, I don't know, man. Not much. I'm on the air.
Turn on the radio. You'll
been
find
doing
out.
This show
right.
since 2012.
That's the one thing. Like that is the way that my parents still check in on me. Like if I'm on the radio in the morning, they're like. Everything all right with you? Where were you at this morning?
Doesn't it make you mad when someone you know should know that you're on the air?
The worst is I've got a sponsor, and they know who they are, and they've been with me from the very beginning. I'm talking to J9 agencies, and he'll call me, right, like 7:30 in the morning. I'm like, you know, like this
you
is
know
the
what
show.
I'm doing.
This is the show you're helping make possible, man.
In fairness, the person that called me was out of state.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Okay.
33 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Totally forgot that. Kevin, sorry we got to you a little later than I would have liked because I forgot to give Angel your new cellular device number. So that's on me, man. That's on me.
You guys thought I was just going into dark mode for a minute there.
I was like, where is he? And Angel's looking at me, and he's like, I don't know, man. And I was like, what could it be? Oh, that's right. I got to. We got to get the new number, the new number, man, that we got to remember. And we'll give it out on the air a little bit later on, Kevin. Kevin Lytle, the Fort Collins, Colorado one. Kevin, do we know anything yet? I kept hearing throughout the week that maybe this would be perhaps the day or maybe tomorrow that we find out about Isaiah Stevens and what his future looks like.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of funny that, you know, the little lead-in intro there was Nico Carvacho saying, you know, former CSU basketball player, current pro. We know Isaiah is going to be those two things, but is it going to be now or a year from now that he's a former CSU player? And word is not out yet. He hasn't announced. I think that is coming pretty soon. I would expect pretty imminently, and certainly this week. But yeah, it's obviously the biggest, CSU, the transfers they got, really good additions, I think, really important to, next season. But I think by far the biggest decision and impact on next season is Isaiah Stevens.
Well, with everything that you're adding in, with what, all these players, and you've done a great job writing these guys up and giving us kind of a list there, it does kind of feel like if Isaiah comes back, it's almost like a bonus, if I can say that. It almost feels like it because there was a part of me that was preparing myself, just like we did last year with David Roddy, for him to go on, whatever that's going to be, the NBA or whatever. So if he comes back, it kind of does feel like a little bit of a bonus.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a final significant piece if he does too. If he weren't part of this team next year, I think you still have a good roster, but you have some pretty significant question marks. Whereas if he comes back, there are still question marks. There always are in the off season, and how new pieces will fit together. But on paper, it shapes up pretty nice with that group there. And obviously, we all know what Isaiah does, and having that one more year would just be really, really big, and really also ratchet up expectations on the season too.
Well, you talk about the new guys, the transfers, Joel Scott, Neat Clifford out of Colorado, and Javonte Johnson, the New Mexico player. Right there, it just feels like, man, those guys could be difference makers. And then you add Isaiah in. If he does stay, is that – talk about those expectations. Would that go to, we expect this team to be dancing again next year?
Yeah, I mean, the thing I always say is that it's hard to make the NCAA tournament, so it's tough to guarantee it. But that's, that would be a roster that should certainly be the, goal and expectation and a realistic one to aim for. So, yeah, I mean, we saw the injuries and illness and everything last year. Those can derail a season no matter what your roster looks like. But if that group were to be healthy, it would be disappointing if they weren't in the mix come March, to be in that conversation. So, yeah, I think you've made those additions and put those pieces together that it should be a pretty good season. The schedule looks good too. I mean, St. Mary's is probably top 25. They'll be at Moby. Colorado, I wouldn't be surprised if they're preseason top 25. They'll be at Moby. Obviously, we know San Diego State. CSU, I think, will play Creighton in a non-conference neutral site tournament, who's a really good program. So you have a lot of pieces for not just the roster, but also the sort of resume opportunities that you need to have for an NCAA tournament. Obviously, you have to win those. You can't just play good teams. You have to beat a few of them. But a lot of pieces seem to be coming together to make it, it should be an exciting season. And, I think excitement heading into the season.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, May 25th of 2022, last year, when I had you on and we were talking about David Roddy, did you get the sense that during that time that Roddy was going to go into the NBA draft?
Yeah, that's a great question. It was back and forth, I think, for everyone involved. In hindsight now, when folks can maybe talk a little more openly, I think even people in the program, sort of every day it was sort of a different thing. One day it's the word he's getting is that he'll probably get drafted, pretty early, and he's going to go. The next is like, maybe he should stay. It was really going back and forth, and I think that truly came to, almost the final minute, not quite that late, but truly a final day's decision. So, yeah, I I feel like this time last year was really kind of flipping back and forth every day on what I expected. So there really was not a concrete. I truly did not have a feel on which way that one was going to go.
Is that kind of how you feel right now? I mean, is it up in the air? Is it because you have a lot of great sources? I know you're close with the coaches, and they don't. Who knows what they know? What's your sense right now as we talk?
I have a different feeling this year than last. I think it leans toward, Isaiah's probably going to come back. Would be my kind of educated guess. I'd say he's, he was at the G League Combine, but didn't get to the NBA Combine, which means, he's pretty much certainly not a guy that would be expected to be drafted. He would obviously have either overseas or, maybe G League opportunities, but he'll also, those would be on the table next year as well. So I don't know, the signs to me and sort of rumblings sort of point to me that he'll be back. Again, you never know, a team can swoop in and offer something up kind of late on, but yeah, I think there's at least a decent chance that we see number four in the green again.
Well, I keep trying my tricks, Kevin. Isaiah, of course, we did a show with him this year. He had his show. I was just happy to kind of tag along and be a part of it. But I'll text him and be like, hey, for planning purposes, should we be setting stuff up for next year? And he just won't take the bait, man. He won't. He's a smart guy.
They knows how to play the game, that's for sure. I mean, you can already see the coach in him, too. Like, he can play this stuff close to the vest and, answer politely, but without actually answering anything. They definitely knows how to do it all.
Do you think that Isaiah Stevens, you kind of getting a feeling maybe he's coming back. I'm taking a guess. I don't really have a feeling, but yeah, maybe that would be great. Do you think that he will eventually be a guy that gets drafted into the NBA? Only two rounds, so you got to be an elite college player.
Yeah, I mean, I'm torn. The tough thing is, obviously probably the biggest knock on him is, just size and, probably most importantly how that relates to defensive play in the NBA. And, unfortunately, that can't change. He's a guy, though. I mean, shoot, I'm not betting against him. He is a really talented player that can do a lot of things. So even if he doesn't get drafted, I feel like he's got to find a way to get himself on a roster at some point.
Yeah, I think so too. And he's so fun to root for, and so is David Roddy. I mean, he's been a blast to follow. But Roddy just had that. I think we've talked about it a million times, Kevin. Just not just his skill set, but his unique build, and that was something I think a lot of teams in the NBA were like that. Who knows? That could be something really great for us. So a lot of those times, you will see teams pay attention to unique looking guys as far as their build.
Yeah, absolutely. David was, a unicorn in a lot of ways because, he had so many different positions he could be, his versatility. Zay obviously is a point guard through and through, which, is a great thing too, and has all those skills, but just totally different evaluation processes for those two players through this whole NBA thing.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado. And, well, we're eager to find out. I mean, what else? I mean, are you hearing any kind of time frame? I mean, is it still this week? Could we hear something today, tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm hoping soon. I mean, I'm hoping today. I would certainly think, this week, at bare minimum. And, frankly, a deadline is, the 31st or less than a week away. So it depends on how you want to define soon, but it's got to be soon. But I think sooner rather than later.
Well, that's what we want to hear, man. I want to get some good news. That would be awesome. And I know Rams fans would just go absolutely nuts because you got to feel like you got something cooking there. Kevin, on the football side of things, just a chance to sit still for a little bit and look at this team. I know we're a few months away still before we can really ramp this discussion back up. But I've just been thinking about that very first game at Canvas Stadium. Was it against Oregon State? And it was so magical. I mean, that place was packed. Do you think that as soon as next year we really start to see that thing get to the point where, I mean, we're filling it up. The success is there, but also there's more of a buy-in from the fans.
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I mean, pushing, the sellout wazoo for the first game is sort of the campaign right now. I think they'll probably be able to do that, especially, I mean, The Athletic was projecting that that's going to be a CBS game, which, if that turns out to be true, that would be a lot of eyeballs on CSU. And, the team has been drawing quite well. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but amongst G5 teams, I think CSU was like 10th or something in attendance, and the teams above them all had winning record. So, you know, basically for a G5 team that wasn't winning, CSU was drawing really well. So I think if they start winning, I think you're going to see that grow. And it's a pretty good home slate this year. So I think a 10 should be pretty good.
Well, Kevin, I'm not going to ask you yet. But, you know, in a few months, I'm going to ask you if the Rams are going to beat the Buffs. So just prepare yourself for that. I'm not going to do it
Tanner,
like Tanner did
Tanner
in December.
Tanner did that like 15 years ago, so you're way behind.
He did. I think he did. I think it was like 5 years ago. He's like, Kevin, what do you think in 2023 when they play?
2023 game, you know, CU's going to have some big-name coach.
Somebody had commented on your Twitter about ticket sales and, hey, should I go for it? Should I make that purchase? Because the tickets are probably going to be crazy as far as going to that game. And you're kind of the mindset, dude, that one you might want to go to. If you're going to go to one, that might be the one to go to.
Yeah, I mean, that's my, you know, certainly I'm, you know, it's not for me to tell anyone how to spend their money. But as far as, you know, entertainment and intrigue in a specific game, that one is going to be, you know, way up there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, too. Kevin, appreciate you, man. I'll be looking out at your Twitter to see if you hear anything here in the next few hours, next few days, who knows. But hopefully we get some news soon.
Definitely. Hopefully soon.
All right, man. Thank you. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. What will we know? Maybe in a few hours? Maybe tomorrow. I mean, this is a big story in the area, man. This is a big deal. Whether or not Isaiah Stevens is going to come back and play for Colorado State, we'll see. 11:49 the time. We'll take a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
So I guess the Broncos are not allowing media to live tweet during OTA practice or anything like that. They're not, you can't have pictures or anything. I don't know. He's tightening it up. And then you said something about, like, there's no logos on there.
Yeah, I saw it. Mike Kliss had put it out that they're not putting the logo or anything on the helmets. It's just a piece of tape with their name on it.
Do they have to earn their logo? Is it like a primetime thing?
No. He said it's specifically not that. The reasoning is from Sean Payton that they don't want the equipment staff to have to do that over and over and over again. When the season starts, you just do it all at once and it's there. So I get it, but
okay,
the media is going to take it and do
hooking them up.
The primetime thing.
Yeah, well, that's where my brain went, Angel.
Right.
I always
put a piece of tape with your name on it. There you go.
Always trying to find a story where there isn't one. And so is this a big deal? So Zach Stevens tweeted this out an hour ago, our Broncos insider. He said, important note on today's OTAs, the reporting guidelines for media have changed. We are not allowed to tweet about anything until practice is over. Practice starts at 10:15 and ends at 12:25. Expect a lot of updates then. What's the difference? Unless you tell me that they're going to go through each media member's planned out tweets and pictures, what's the difference?
So this isn't something exclusive to the Broncos. This is kind of the rules for OTAs in the NFL. Reporters and media are allowed to go to these practices, but they are not allowed to live tweet.
It's like jury duty.
Like with training camp, you are allowed to live tweet. Like, Russell threw a pass to this player on this play in 7-on-7. You can do that as it's happening.
Public, too, yeah. Because
training camp or OTAs, you can't really do that.
And is that because they're... Like, most
you couldn't even say, this is who the five linemen were in set one. You can't even say that stuff. You can't be super specific about it. You can say, oh, this guy looked good on his throwing drills, or the defense was doing this.
Isn't that wild?
Be specific. It's weird.
But then you can do it at training camp.
Yeah.
You can't do it now.
They say no phones at training camp, but every one of those fans has their phone hiding in their lap taking videos.
It's very strange. Football's weird. College is like this, too. College is worse than the NFL.
College, you get like 10 minutes.
Like, CU, I don't know if primetime's changed it at all, but you can't even go to practice. Wyoming, you can't go to practice. CSU allows us to go to practice, but we're watching, like, the punts and stuff. We're
watching drills or stretches.
And just watching Clay Millen throw the ball to a wide-open receiver in warm-ups, which is cool. I mean, I love it. It's an honor to be out there. I enjoy it, but it's always kind of fun. Basketball's the opposite of that.
Well, it's kind of preventative. You don't want, you know, something that happened in OTAs on a Friday to be the national narrative for your team until training camp.
Yeah, I...
Like Aaron Rodgers pulling a calf muscle.
Yeah.
That's a huge story, apparently.
How did they get that out, then? How did they get that story?
Because he's trying to pull a weighted sled at 39 years old.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't do any of that stuff, man. But, like, go basketball, it's way different. Yeah, they don't want you to, like, film their out-of-bounds plays and stuff. But it's you. I went to UNC practice, was it last year? You can just sit there the whole time. Just sit there and watch and take pictures. And obviously you can't, you're not going to video play, like diagram plays and stuff. But
you expect the media to know what they're describing?
I have no idea. Like, oh, there's a play here. That looks fancy. No. 11:57 the time. When we come back, let's get to the lunch rush. Some very interesting stories out there. Haven't even touched my tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. How many titles will the Denver Nuggets win in the Nikola Jokic era? Go vote. Is it zero? Are they not even going to get it done this year? One, two, three, four, five. I'm limiting it at five. Is that safe? Is that fair? Or should we put other up there? The dangerous other. Second hour coming up next.